I have a quiz for you, and it may seem a little odd. I want you to take out your white reading insert. There are a few things that are missing from this, and I want to see if anyone can notice them. There is a space missing between 2 and Mark. That is true. There are a few other things, though. I'm not a great proofreader, and that's totally something I could have done, but that wasn't me this time. There are other mistakes I've made we'll discuss later. It's a hard question. It's not quite a trick question. I always warn people when I have a trick question, but it is a hard question because we don't include them on very many of the reading inserts that were prepared before I came. I've started adding them on the ones that I've printed since I came because I noticed we were losing them entirely in sort of our prayer, too. If you look at the collect and at the prayers before, over the gifts, and the prayers after communion, none of them have amen. I know, kind of funny, isn't it? Yeah. And because we pray these together, one of the things I have noticed is the amen is actually printed in the prayer book at the time when these happen, but when they're not on the bulletin, we aren't very good at praying the amen. Now, amen is sort of a funny word, and we've corrupted it and sort of borrowed it and stolen it from Hebrew, where it's more amen. The pronunciation doesn't really matter, though, because the amen is the part where we agree. It's a very important part of the prayer. And when we translate it, perhaps the best translation is, so be it. When we have prayed and we have spoken, and everyone who either has been praying silently along with their spoken prayer or has been praying out loud, we remind ourselves that this is what we're agreeing to. We've said something about God or to God or about God's action in our world. We're saying, this is what we want. If it was a contract law, this would be the part where we sort of sign on the dotted line at the bottom. But this is church, so we don't have dotted lines. So I brought up the bulletin in part because I want us to pay attention to these prayers. They are good and important prayers, but I also want us to pay attention to saying amen. Not just because it's printed in the prayer book or because everyone else does it, but because our agreement to the things we pray matters. Our agreement to Eucharist matters. If you notice at the end of the Eucharistic prayer, the people say amen. We agree that this is the type of people we want to be, that this is the work we want to be engaged in together. And it's actually an incredibly important little word. So you can put this away now. Thank you very much. Jesus' sermon this morning is all about little things, specifically seeds. Now, I am not much of a gardener, so I quite like his gardening advice, which is mostly throw some seeds around and hope it grows, and it will. Gardeners tell me that it's only a little more complicated when you tell someone who has a gorgeous garden, and there are some of you here today, that you're not good at making things grow. They usually just add water. They say it takes time and water and love, and that's what you need. And then I kill the plant. Jesus is talking to farmers, and I grew up among farmers, so I know how weird this advice is. And Montana and Alberta share our farmers, sort of. We live in sort of that same geographical stretch. So I know you guys know how weird this is, too, because farmers don't throw seed on the ground and then walk away and come back to harvest it when it's grown. First, you have to prepare the ground so you're using the right type of soil. Then you have to space the seed out correctly. And then what follows after that, from what I can tell, is mostly a lot of worrying. Worrying that it's not too hot or too cold. Worrying that it's cold enough if you're doing winter wheat. Worrying that it rains enough, but not too much. That the hail doesn't come before you harvest. When it will frost. It's not throwing the seed out and then walking away until it's harvest time. It's this very intensive, laborious process. And here's what else I know. Everyone Jesus was talking to knew that. They were an agrarian culture, but not the big agrarian that we have. So even more intimately than we know, they each would have had their little plot, their vegetable gardens, their neighbors would have had wheat fields and little acres here and there. They knew what it was to grow things, and they knew that Jesus sounded crazy. What he says today is absolutely ludicrous, and I'm very glad that farmers over the centuries haven't taken it to heart, because I think the human race would have starved. And there's a reason we haven't taken his advice as farming advice. Because at some level, we've always known he's talking about seeds and growing things, but he's not really talking about seeds and growing things. He's speaking in parables. And parables are weird. Lovely, but a little weird. So when Jesus talks about seed and growing things, he's not giving advice for what to do next summer when it's time to plant. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And there's a reason we talk about the kingdom of God, usually in parables, because the kingdom of God is a weird place. Sometimes I think we sort of skip over it. We move straight to heaven, this place we get to go at the end of our lives after we have died with God and with those we miss. And there's no pain and there's no grief. Where tears are wiped away and comfort is everywhere. Sometimes I think we confuse that with the kingdom of God, or we get them sort of mashed up somehow. Because the kingdom of God, Jesus is quite clear, is a strange place. It's the sort of place where you don't have to worry about watering your seed. It's the sort of place where we talk about mustard seeds, which are sort of the kudzu or the scotch broom of the Middle East, as if they're great things. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, especially to his disciples, to us, to those who have been baptized into this promise, is actually all around us. How many of you saw Finding Nemo? You have a small child. Few other laughs. The clownfish that gets lost and goes on a hunt for his father, it's a great movie. You should really watch it. And then you've got Dory, who can't remember anything for more than like 5 seconds. Fabulous. But what I was thinking about this morning wasn't either of those. It was the sharks. Who remembers the sharks? Yes. The sharks. Now, Nemo has found Dory by this point in time, and then they're sort of meandering along as they do and bumbling into things, and they find the sharks. Now, if you're a fish in the ocean, the shark is not your friend. The shark is dangerous. The shark is death. But these sharks, Bruce and his friends, are in sort of a 12-step shark rehabilitation program. It's a great scene. They sit there, and it's very much drawn from 12-step, and they have a mantra. They remind themselves they are not mindless eating machines. They can change. The change has to start with them, and that fish are friends, not food. You can tell that neither Nemo or Dory really believe them, but they seem to be on their side, and they don't have a lot of other options at that point in time. They've sort of wandered into an upside-down, inside-out version of their world. Instead of hiding from the sharks, they're going to stick with them for a little bit. Because maybe, Maybe the sharks actually aren't going to eat them. This is the kingdom that Jesus talks about today. He uses these stories people would have understood as being entirely wrong and says the kingdom is very different. For us, maybe it's easier to understand the kingdom of God as that place where love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control are just what we can do. It's not the place where we wake up and some mornings it's hard to get out of bed, where we look at that list of the fruits of the Spirit and we say, today I'm struggling to hold on to love. The rest of them, I'll come back tomorrow. The kingdom of God is that place where the sharks can stop repeating that fish are friends and not food. But we live in a world where we have to sit and listen to Jesus' parables, where the sharks have their meetings and remind each other that the fish are friends and not food. Because although we are called and baptized and sent out to be the first taste of the kingdom of God to people who have never heard of Jesus, who aren't too sure about what this church thing is, who think that it's strange and maybe just a little cult-like, we're sent out to be their first taste of a kingdom of God where we can love those we don't know, where we can respond with kindness when horrible things have happened around us, and where we remember always, first, last, and always, that Jesus loves us, specially and uniquely, enough to save the entire world, just as Jesus loves those around us. Amen.